The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. It is always a joy and a privilege to bring greetings to you from the Indiana District and to be here. Because what a welcoming place. What a wonderful place to come. What a wonderful setting to be able to proclaim the good news of Jesu Christi. What a nice setting. And I know that as we move ever closer to placement, that many of you, especially the SEM4s, but also the vicars, people are looking forward to vicarage, have these things on your mind, and you might think, you know, it'd be great to have a call to a place that would have this feel. A place like Cramer Chapel. What a wonderful place to be able to proclaim the Word of God, to be welcomed so warmly, so generously every time you come. In fact, I noticed on a lot of the notes that we get about candidates, it says, really, I'm a candidate looking for a place that's kind of reminiscent of where I grew up, a place that's comfortable, a place that's really cool. And I then looked at the lesson for today, and Peter and John didn't get such a warm welcome in the temple in Jerusalem when they came to proclaim what we just declared. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The folks around were not saying, Alleluia. The folks around were wishing they would never have brought that up. They were very upset by it. They were those who did not believe in the resurrection. Their whole message was here today, gone tomorrow, body and soul, no tomorrow, no heaven, just oblivion. This no resurrection party had no understanding of heaven in those days. Still, there is a lot of puzzlement about it. If you looked at one of the last issues, in fact, it came out of all times on Good Friday. How appropriate. The Time magazine article on rethinking heaven. What is heaven? Is there heaven? And they declared that some people in the church, fortunately not us, some modern thinkers, are rethinking the whole concept of heaven. Really, we do not preach a heaven that we have thought up or imagined, as time indicates. They said heaven is not just a place to go, but how you live your life. We preach Christ crucified, like Peter in Jerusalem. We proclaim that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And because he lives, we too shall live forever for sure. Otherwise, as we just sang, if there is no resurrection, we have no business being here. You have no business preparing for what you're preparing to do. It is contingent upon our life, and our faith is contingent upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Sadducees were afraid that Peter would say exactly that. They were concerned that he would bring up the whole concept, the whole idea of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For if Jesus is raised from the dead, their whole teaching would be null and void. Which, of course, it was and is. If Jesus was resurrected, that meant he was and is the Lord and Savior. They wanted to think that they had buried the whole idea of resurrection and that it would stay buried. That the divinity of Christ had been debunked. And now they were faced with resurrection preaching, and for them, resurrection trouble. So, they threw Peter and John in prison to try to quell the rising tide of resurrection news. It didn't work because the people had heard the profound message of life and resurrection in Jesus Christ. 5,000 men believed that day immediately. The word of life, the dynamis as it were, was far more powerful than the local ecclesial posse set about trying to put resurrection in a human jail. Lock it up. Close it down. Turn it off. Just like they thought they had done when they had buried the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the word that you declare and you share and that you have set your life course on. Whether it is comfortable or not, whether it is easy or not, whether it is against the wind or not, whether it is uphill every day of your ministry, you know why you live, you know who you are in Christ, and you know that His resurrection is forever. The rulers had a question. It's hard for me to believe that they asked the question, because they had to know what the answer was going to be. Referring to the crippled man that had been healed, they asked, "By what power and what name did you do this?" If you don't want to know the answer, don't ask the question. Peter's answer could not have been more clear, more law and gospel balanced, and more precise than it was. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." By the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, but God raised. It is this same Jesus that you will spend your life proclaiming. It is the same gospel proclaimed in the temple in Jerusalem that you have given and will give your life to. Peter and John understood that while they had crucified Jesus, their sins also had crucified Jesus. Peter's not standing there as one who has no sin. Excuse me. He is there as one who understood his sin, understood law and gospel, understood the power of the resurrection, understood why it needed to be that dynamis that it was and is. And he is flowing along in the wonderful tide of the resurrection. When it's all said and done, and it all will be said and done, I hope that you can say what Paul writes, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and with much trembling." Psalm 4 is can identify. That's the way you will go. With some fear and trembling, and certainly with weakness. And as you go, may you meet the congregation that you will be called to serve with an understanding that I'm here like Peter and John were in the temple that day. I'm here to declare, proclaim Christ crucified. It really doesn't matter what else they know about you or if they know anything about you. But if they see in you the living Christ, if they hear in you the words of the Holy Gospel, if you declare he is risen indeed, then you will have served the Lord well. We certainly rejoice in the voice that God gave to Peter that day. Yes, Jesus is the capstone, all right, that the builders often reject as they think about heaven and avoid the topic of resurrection. But this Jesus is the capstone, the only possible name under heaven by which we may be saved. There is no other way. There is no other side door. There is no other back passage. There is no other way. He makes forgiveness a reality for you. Or you would have no business being here preparing to proclaim that holy gospel. You come in weakness, forgiven by Christ. You come as Peter came, trusting the Holy Spirit to give you voice, knowing that it's not always going to be easy, and it's not even particularly going to always be fun. Privilege, yes. A joy, of course. Fun, not always. I've often thought if the early church missionaries had taken along their families on their mission trips, what if they had had teenagers? And teenagers heard Dad say, going on another mission trip, we'll all be going. Dad, why do you have to go? I mean, I hate to go with you on these mission trips. People don't like you. People spit on you, beat you up, throw you in jail. This is not fun, Dad. You know this is no vacation for us to follow you around on mission trips. Some of you have families that will be going with you into the ministry and mission field. And as they do, it's important for them to understand too. God has called you to do the will of the Father, called you to declare the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And depending on where you go, you probably won't be thrown in jail like Peter was that day, but you could be. But not everyone is going to like you, and you're probably not going to be likable every day either. But you are there to proclaim exactly what we celebrate as Christians every day. There are joys in ministry, but it is not a calling to fun nor a day at the beach. It does involve taking up the cross and following where Jesus leads. It is a walk, life, and vocation of faithful servanthood. It means saying to a dying world that God loves them and that Jesus died for them and is risen for them. What joy in the 5,000 men and all of the others who heard that proclamation that day. The same Jesus who healed the boy is our resurrection and our life. And because he lives, we too shall live. And because he lives, we have said, Lord, take my hand and lead me, and by your grace, allow me, as your beloved, forgiven, humble, weak, frail servant, to be an instrument in your hand. The same Jesus leads and guides you as you set out on this course which ultimately leads to the Father's house. Those who do not know the resurrection and life live a short, shallow life that ends with no hope. You bring hope, the clear, sure hope of the gospel. As resurrection people looking to enter the ministry, I pray that God will always give voice to you and pray for you to pray without ceasing, to repent without restraint, to preach with faithfulness and with joy. May it always be said of those who serve the Lord, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. It was that message that came to the temple that day. It was the message that changed the hearts, lives, and destiny of the people who heard that proclamation. Thank you for welcoming me here. May you be welcomed wherever you go. Whether you are or not, though, preach the word in season, out of season. Never flinch in saying, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.